Hey folks, Mike Costello here. This podcast is going to go out through both Hunting Ain't Easy and Howlcast. This is part one of two, I guess you could say. I've got Matt Bond from allwaters.org here on this podcast. And then the next one that's going to come out will have Devin with Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Some issues going on in California that I think everybody nationwide should start to tune into. The concept is basically around setting up marine refuges where people cannot hunt the ocean, as in, you know, angling, real fishing, spear fishing, fishing from the surface, fishing from under the surface, et cetera. And the same organizations and the same kind of mental, psychological, philosophical principles that go into shutting down hunting on land, go into shutting down angling and hunting the oceans. And so with that, I think it's important, especially important for folks in California to become informed about what's going on with the concept of marine protected areas and reserves, conservation areas, et cetera, along the coast, and shutting down angling opportunities, recreational sport fishing angling opportunities, and harvest. So we in California need to know what's going on here. But really, from a national viewpoint, you know, a lot of us, a lot of Americans live within an hour or two of a coast, and activity on the water and under the water is important to all of us. And there's numerous species that we harvest and hunt on and under the water, on the coasts of North America. So tune in, and there's going to be some action items coming up. Right now, my big ask for you is to go to the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers site, and there's a link in the notes, and take action through that. And then also follow allwaters.org, follow Backcountry Hunters and Anglers California, so you can stay on top of what's going on here. And then look for some action items on the Howl Action Center in the next week or so to weigh in and provide some stronger voices here directly to the commissioners in California. So this conversation coming up is with Matt Bond. And then following this, there will be a conversation with Devin from Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. And it'll help us all get up to speed on what's going on in terms of the potential shutdown of significant areas of ocean hunting off the coast of California. And as we all know, this threat could come to you as well in another state if it's successful here. So thanks for listening. Thanks for taking action. And appreciate your support and following along with both Hunting Ain't Easy and Owlcast. Got Matt Bond here, and we're talking about oceans and fishing and angling, spear fishing, basically hunting the waters of coastal California, and some significant issues that are coming up in that space where opportunity to participate in the natural world is being threatened by some new petitions that are in front of the Fish and Game Commission here in California. And I want to get with Matt here to kind of outline what the issues are, who he represents, who he's working with, and then how we, as a community of outdoors people, wildlife advocates, and hunters and anglers, can get involved to support the right outcomes. Matt, awesome. How's it going? Thanks for being here.
Man, it's going great. It's going busy in the last couple of days, and this just kind of plopped on all of our laps. But I want to thank you immeasurably on behalf of me and a lot of people that are excited to get a little more expansion of the word, what's going on.
Yeah.
I guess a little bit about me really quick. I was born in Isla Vista, California, right north of Santa Barbara, by UCSB, and grew up, in that ocean, playing around in the tide pools and, hunting with slingshots.
That sounds like a terrible childhood.
we grew up, I grew up with a lot of kids from all over the world. It was right after Vietnam War. So there was a lot of kids from a very, crazy, call it, background that were plopped into the middle of one of the more affluent areas in the United States. I learned how to hunt from them and fish and all of that. So I grew up in nature. About 11 years old, I moved out of the tide pools and started and off the pier fishing and started spearfishing. So I've been a free dive spearfisher for over 40 years now.
Awesome.
Yeah, man, it's been a wonderful
truly trip. Hunting the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah. I've hunted too. I was never that good at it. And it gets, you know, hot and musky when you're looking for pigs and stuff. And I was just always better in the ocean. You shared with me before we were recording, you body surf. My dad taught me how to body surf when I was probably five. So I just had such an affinity for the ocean. So I went that path instead of, you know, but most of my friends that are spearfisher folks, male and female, also hunt pigs, hunt deer, out of state elk, all that. So it's the same sort of puzzle solving and environmental modeling and focus, and it gets you out of your day to day and you pop back into that hunter gatherer mindset and get a reset. So you got it. But currently I run a wealth management company. So I'm CEO of a wealth management company. I've got a wonderful wife and two teenage, almost adult children. And why I'm talking to you and what the issue is, back during President Clinton's era, there was some legislation passed called the Marine Life Protection Act. And what that did was mandate that the United States set aside certain amounts of area for marine reserves, throughout the area to protect species diversity. We went through a process then. So the Department of Fish and Game and some of the non-governmental organizations ran it. And we went through a process with really disparate, user group, commercial fishing, bird watchers, people that just wanted to kayak, spear fishermen, recreational fishermen, photographers, all those people. And we sat down in rooms with every spot, if you will, that we cherish on a map, mm-hmm. with the prospect of it being closed to any take of anything. And our job was to come to consensus on setting up an array of marine reserves. And what marine reserves means is anywhere from you can't take anything at all to you can take some things to it's only sport fishing, no commercial fishing, to a whole array. And I can't remember the actual, there's state marine conservation area, state marine reserve. They all annotate different levels of restriction.
Okay. Are these all under the MPA, the Marine Protected Area umbrella?
To be completely factual, no, but for what would you call it? To simplify things in today's conversation.
For Mike on the street, who's mostly, new to it.
Mostly, right?
Okay,
Mostly, because there's some managed by tribes and some managed by cities, but mostly. And then the idea was, and they took forever to get them going. In 2012, they went into place. And then in 10 years, the legislation said, we got to review them and see how they're doing, right?
Okay.
And so in that review process, that's what we're dealing now. That gave me, you, and everyone an opportunity to say, using the word that they put in the legislation, adaptive management, how are these things doing? Mm-hmm. So first, the scientists were supposed to review them, give a report. What should we change? Mm-hmm. Right? What should we change? So what we're dealing with right now, to be very blunt, is there was a lot of prepared people to request certain types of changes. And what I mean prepared people, prepared organizations with certain agendas. And the agendas generally are any extraction, catch, harvest, whatever you want to call it, of anything from nature is bad. And so it needs to be shut down.
Yeah. I call them, a lot of people say, oh, they're the animal rights activists. I say, no, they are the anti-hunting industry.
Yeah.
It's an industry that is funded by people that want to remove human participation.
That's
from
exactly
nature.
Right. And I'm just moving because my phone.
And they come in with phenomenally articulate documents that's like, who the hell has time to write this? It's like, yeah, they spend more on attorneys and writers than they spend on biologists.
it's a full-time job,
right? It's their job.
And you can go down the list, but like Sierra Club, Surfrider Foundation, Natural Resource Defense Center, these are multi-million dollar, not collectively, individually, yeah, billion dollars, multi-million dollar individually, and like eight-figure type multi-million dollar endowments, networked in with the universities, and it's a business. That is, and their job. So when you say like their job is to influence policy for their directive, and their directive generally is stop any sort of take, right?
Yeah.
And so to get even more specific, so I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been beating the drum on this stuff forever, and trying to get our community, because we all have normal jobs and want to just go fish when we have time off and aren't attorneys, most of us. But I've been trying to get people involved in these meetings because this stuff has been going on. And as an aside, this is just one of the two processes. The other one is 30 by 30 that everyone is kind of aware of. Mm. We'll have a whole nother slew of things like this, because that's another entry point for citizens and organizations to say we need to change things. That will affect your hunting constituency far more than what we're talking about today. Because that, if you look at 30-30, which I have in detail, that is 30% of everything.
And it's not conservation. They use the word conservation, but they're not trying to conserve things. That's what's becoming clear, is that they've corrupted the word conservation because they're looking to lock things up and preserve, put things into a box, put things in a museum, not manage for the benefit of humans and critters. Yeah. They're trying to lock things away.
MLPA is a little bit more that way, in my opinion. Okay. If I read the 30 by 30, it was broadly written, which allows for interpretation. And one there's a couple pillars that benefit us. One of them is protection of domestic food supply. So in any decision within the 30-30, I have to check these boxes. To use an example with the picture behind you, banning all bear hunting protect domestic food supply? Well, it doesn't. Right.
No.
And so if we are artful within our interpretation on that, the other one is equitable access to natural recreation. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm using the words wrong, but I'm summarizing in my own way. So I have more hope for 30 by 30 on the positive side for folks like us. And another reason, a lot of what you'll hear me talk about in a more detailed forum, is what we're dealing with right now is, so we're looking at a symptom. Kelp is dying, let's say, the symptom we're looking at. Well, I can't do anything about those multi-million dollar homes overlooking the bluffs that are polluting the wetlands. I can't do anything about the almond farm upstream that's dammed the river. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything with the big right? So what do? The one thing I can attack is fishing.
Right. I take somebody out of spear fishing or fishing, angling.
Because
which has nothing to do with the kelp dying.
We're accessible. 30 by 30, on the other hand, has a mandate to look at those connected systems. Mm-hmm. And so again, hopefully I can do the podcast again when that time comes, or beforehand, so we can be preemptive.
Yeah.
But if you look at, okay, great, how does wetland restoration, salmon running up there, feeding an ecosystem, having the berries and the undergrowth grow, providing better habitat for bear, affect hunting and domestic food supply? 30 by 30 allows us to do some of that stuff if we're good with it.
And you can't have equitable access when you're removing opportunity.
You got it.
You can't expand equitable access to more people by reducing the geographic opportunities to go engage in wildlife.
You got it. And so we need to really hammer on the idea of what recreation is, and make sure recreation includes extractive hunting and
harvest.
Harvest.
Hunt, fish, forage.
Yep.
All those things.
To continue on this topic. So what the word we're trying to get out is a group of local, mostly spear fishermen, rod and reel anglers, But we're looking out for all people affected by this. Have started a .org called allwaters, .org. Okay. And the idea is to really get people a visibility. I mentioned before, we're not involved. So get people involved and in a real short time frame involved. And what I mean by that is on the 19th of this month, there's a commission meeting in San Clemente, California, 9 a.m.
Okay.
There's a deadline to write public comment of the 14th. And my guess is if this is a podcast, you can probably post notes or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, today we're recording. It's March 7th. You're talking March 14th is the deadline. That means the 19th. We'll have this up in the next day or two. So awesome. there will be a several day window where people can get engaged and make comments.
Yeah. And I don't want to push your opinion one way or another, but what I would ask anybody. Anyone interested to do is read the proposals and realize it's in maybe my area now, but they're all up and down California. This isn't the end. And so writing to the Fish and Game Commission to start, and that's what we need to do now before the 14th, and saying, I oppose this one and I'm for this one or whatever your proclivity is critical. Yeah. Critical. The bill that I got involved with first, there's two. It's not a bill, I apologize. It's a petition. The number is 2023-23.
Okay.
MPA, Marine Protected Area. That one says, let's close down all fishing, picking mussels off the rock, anything in most of Pacific Grove, California. It stops people in the one zone where you can only rod and reel fish from fishing off the Coast Guard pier, and it would close all fishing in Monterey Bay. That's the first one.
What critter is so threatened in that area that we would eliminate all harvest, rod, reel, spear of all species from those waters? Do you know what critter they're protecting, or is it removal of people?
No, I know exactly what critter, because I actually read. You have to. Okay. These things are great. The critter is kelp.
Okay.
The coils of the ocean. And so the premise that I'm going to talk about another one next, which is asking for the same thing. Here's the premise. Kelp is dying, right? We have less kelp than we did 15 years ago. And we know this. Kelp goes through up and down cycles. Mm-hmm. But it's in a long-term decline. There's no arguing that. And a lot of it was from a disease that happened to these things called sunflower starfish and other starfish that eat sea urchins. Those things died off. Sea urchins are proliferating and eating all the kelp, and it can't grow back. And I'm oversimplifying, but that's a concern. And there's thought that that could be because of climate change, water getting more warm, more red tide events.
We haven't gotten to how regulating angling and spearfishing affects either.
Yeah, it's funny. I have to give this long-winded explanation to try to explain the logic. So the idea is that we don't know what's going to happen next, and we got to protect everything, and that will give us the best chance of making sure kelp is fine.
Yeah.
There's no linear logic to that.
It's unmanagement. We're going to go to a lock impossible. It in a box and unmanage it.
Yes.
And just hope and pray.
A great example of this is you can go to the places that are already closed right now.
sure.
One that was mentioned to me, I don't have firsthand knowledge, but is the Cabrillo Marine Reserve down in San Diego, which is one of the oldest.
Yeah.
There's no more kelp inside that thing than there is outside.
Right. We have 10 years of data. We have 10 years.
It's already happened. So that's one. Close all fisheries here. And then the other really important one, not minimizing the other one, but is 2023-33 MPA. And that one is asking for a variety of closures. A big one being the Pleasure Point area in Santa Cruz, California. Turning that kelp bed for the same reasons into a complete no take, expanding the natural bridges one. So basically there's no fishing in Santa Cruz anymore. And it's in an area though, where the most disadvantaged people will be the most harmed.
Sure.
That's where lots of poor people fish off the shore to get food.
Uh-huh.
Right there. And it that's done. Closed. They want to close that. And they use a paper that it's just nonsense. You don't ask real people. They use some scientific paper, I think in Australia, that says, oh, people will be fine. That the displacement effect is negligible. They can go other places. I grew up poor. I grew up without a car. I grew up being able to walk to the beach,
get
and
some
go
food.
Catch food and walk home.
Right.
And have a harder time arguing, you know, to keep these offshore spots open where you can only reach with a $250,000 boat. But if you're going to keep anything open, keep the places open where people are feeding themselves and recreating and getting into nature where they can walk there without a frigging car.
Yeah.
Right.
And the people that participate in this and want to see animals in the ocean to catch care deeply about there being animals in the ocean to catch. And you eliminate a stakeholder group that is vested, paying into it with their money and their time.
Yes.
You remove that stakeholder group for a generation. Guess what? Nobody gives a shit anymore.
Guess what? It's been proven.
Yeah.
The idea of a citizen environmentalist, a citizen conservationist, no one cares more about the critters being there than folks like us. The amount of money I spend to catch one fish is ridiculous.
Yeah. The economy that you support, the families that you collectively feed by going out and bringing home that 5-pound rockfish, you know, is phenomenal. But it's important. It's important.
And the person that's catching the one or two rockfish off the shore using old gear, it's equally important to them. They do not want to diminish it.
Absolutely.
To give you an example, white sea bass in Southern California were gill netted almost to extinction. They banned gill nets in the mid or late 90s, and they started coming back. And we've been spearfishing white sea bass for a long, 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 long time and have more interface with them than anybody because they're scared of scuba. And so the only way that fisheries biologists, particularly Dr. Milton Love, who wrote the book, he's a UCSB professor. And when I said wrote the book, literally wrote the book on Pacific Coast fisheries, West Coast fisheries.
Wow.
Had wrong ideas about white sea bass population because the only way they could count was from fishing landings. Right.
Okay.
And so my buddy Matt Lum started filming back in the day. He made a housing for his freaking VHS camera.
Yeah.
And we had Milton Love over to Matt's house showing him on the TV. And Milton Love went up to the screen and was 6 inches away.
Is this
going,
real?
Oh my God. And it freaked him out. And so in his book now, my buddy Matt Lum is actually mentioned in his book about sea bass. And the point of that long story is to let you know, of course we see stuff that someone on scuba or someone in a lab or someone that's out there one day, a month even, sees.
Right.
We're out there day in and day out. And the anecdotal shouldn't be minimized. Our anecdotal observations are often more acute than any scientist is ever going to come up with.
Yeah. So allwaters.org. So if people right now, because I know you and I both have a hard stop.
Yeah.
If people want to get involved.
Yeah.
First of all, allwaters.org.
Yeah,
a website.
I think it's all waters too. On then we'll post the stuff.
Yeah, I'll have it in the links.
Instagram.
All waters on Instagram, on socials, on the internet. So All Waters would be the organization to track, follow, join, engage with to follow what's going on here.
Yes.
The Commission Marine Resources Committee has their meeting on the 19th, but then also on the 26th, there's also a Fish and Game Commission meeting.
Yeah.
This process, and correct me if I'm wrong, but petition process with our commission takes usually at least 10 months to 36 months to get things done.
My phone's ringing, of course. That's why I've got that's why all these things are 2023-33 and all that.
Because they started last year.
Like September or October last year, these people submitted. Yeah. So we can't submit any new petitions right now for this round, I don't think. But I apologize for the phone ringing. Nothing I can do.
But public comment from the hunting and angling and wildlife community needs to go in. And I would say if you don't have time to read all of these in depth, is just express to the commission that if there is not data and strong, profound scientific evidence that removing opportunity, if that data doesn't exist, then removing opportunity should not happen.
Mike, it is also okay to say, even if data does exist, it's perfectly fine to say, my name is Matt Bond. I'm a hunter and fisherman. I oppose any new closures. Doesn't matter. It's my right as a citizen for elected and appointed officials, officials appointed by other elected officials, to assert my right to hunt and fish.
And well, so, and yeah, because opposing a closure, you could say, like, let's regulate harvest. Let's manage and regulate harvest.
Those are already encoded method into of the take. Title.
Yes. So that the data is, so we continue the involvement, continue the engagement, continue to collect data on it, and it's not a one-way door. You close it, it's a one-way door.
They don't reopen those things.
No more closures. Continue with managing the harvest.
Yes, sir. That's right. So how to get involved is perfect. We'll link those on the show notes, but All Waters really is the place to go, both on social and on the web.
Right on. I appreciate your time today.
Man.
I want to let you know, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers has been really effective at the ground level here.
That's who I used before.
I'm
deeply involved with Backcountry Hunter and Anglers. If you go back two years or so when the 30 by 30 thing went out, there's podcasts of me with those guys.
So they're involved on this too. They're an ally on this, and they've got a good action item spun up as well. So that's one way that people can get involved in too.
Yep. And they're active right now as we're setting up this thing that's more fishing specific, coastal fishing specific. I support Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Those guys do a great job. They have full-time lobbyists and they do habitat restoration and have social gatherings and stuff. You cannot go wrong with that group. You know what I mean?
And their lead guy here in California, who's now like got a whole region to him. He's a spear fisherman. He is. So he's close to it. His heart is in it.
Yep. No. And he and I have spent a lot of time talking. I appreciate him greatly. Yep.
Good deal. All right. Well, we both have to bounce. Yep. I appreciate this. We're going to come back to this. I want to continue digging deeper on the angling, both inland and offshore coastal waters issues. Because I think the hunting community, I think we have a lot in common and we have a lot of alignment and how we can work together and bring forth a stronger voice
100%
whenever regulatory issues are coming into play.
Awesome, man. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate being on.
All right, Matt Bond, thank you so much for the conversation there. Again, that was Matt Bond with allwaters.org here in California. Check out the show notes. You can follow the links to find All Waters on Instagram. Of course, go in there and give them a follow. There will be a link in the show notes to the Backcountry Hunters Anglers action item. And then, as always, please go to the howlforwildlife.org website. Take action, become a member, and amplify all of our voices, hunters and anglers across America, to support the success of wildlife and hunting opportunity at the same time. Thanks for following.